I'd like to return the meeting now to open session. As soon as we get these folks in here, I will ask council to report on closed session. Is that correct?
I couldn't stand here and tell you.
If you guys could come in as quickly as possible, we'd like to get moving. We're already behind schedule. Council, will you please report on closed session?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the report out of closed session regarding the special meeting closed session item. Board is reconvening back into open session regarding closed session item A1. All five board members were present during the duration of the closed session. There is no reportable action. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Council. Open session is convened. Regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay. Please all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, will you call roll for the force, please?
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. We don't need to report again because we already have, right, Council?
You can drop it from the agenda.
Thank
well,
you.
Let me go ahead and do it again.
This to you.
Somebody arrived once I made
for,
that.
For clarification, there's a spot on the agenda for the report on closed session, so please report.
Yes, what's been the policy of the district in the past is when it's had a separate meeting, that it's a special meeting that contains closed session items, that at the next regular meeting, they report on action. The board met at 6:30 in regards to closed session item A1 on the agenda for the special meeting. All five board members were present during the duration of the closed session. There's no reportable action from that closed session. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Council. This is the time when we ask for public comments from the public, and we would ask that you come forward to the podium, address the board, and keep your comments up to 3 minutes, and comment only on things that are not on the agenda for this evening. Do we have anybody that wants to make any comments? Come forward, please.
Hello, my name is Marie Grant, and I wish to comment on what is becoming sort of a movement toward creating a dog park.
Okay.
For the Town of Discovery Bay. And I wanted you all to be aware of a kind of dog park that exists in other places. It's a subscription dog park. They lock the park with a key system, and you pay, you know, $5-$10 a month to use the dog park. This means that the people who get keys or key cards have to, they're known. And they're residents of the area. Their dog is known. It's known that their dog is licensed, et cetera, et cetera. This tends to make for a better and safer dog park. That's all I have to say. I'd like you to consider it. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you, ma'am.
And it also helps defray costs.
It does. Thank you, ma'am. Any other public comments at this time? Okay, seeing none, public comments are now closed. Presentations this evening. Do we have Director Glenn Howell here tonight?
Right here.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Come on up to that podium there, if you would, because
okay.
We want. And is that mic on? Right.
While Director Howell is approaching the podium, I'd like to inform the board and the public that Director Howell spoke at a recent meeting of the MAC agencies. And thought that it would be a good opportunity to have him come present similar information to our board as well.
Thank you. Podium's yours, sir.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I'll just take just a couple of minutes to kind of give you a general overview of animal services, and if there are questions that I can answer, I'd be happy to do that. I'm the director of animal services, and we provide Contra Costa Animal Control Services provide service to all of Contra Costa County, with the exception of the city of Antioch. We provide both field service and shelter service. Field service, what is that? We provide 24-hour-a-day coverage. We have officers dispatched throughout the city. We investigate cruelty cases. We investigate neglect, bite investigations. We enforce the various county and state animal laws. We also enforce the dangerous dog ordinance. We rescue injured and stray animals. We pick up dead animals, so that's kind of just a wide view. We deal with all the animals, on injured animals and strays, except on the freeway. If it's on the freeway, that would be the highway patrol. We will come out, but we first need highway patrol to be able to control the traffic, and then we will come out. We get about 500 requests for service a day. All of our officers are dispatched out of our Martinez Center. Just to clarify, the officers down in the morning, for example, if someone from the east side calls for a request for service, be it to investigate a barking dog complaint or a biting dog neglect or whatever it is, people are not just sent out directly from Martinez. We, in the morning, we have officers dispatched throughout the entire county. So if there's a call that comes from the east county, there would be officers out here already. We also provide shelter service. We have two animal shelters. The main center is in Martinez, and we have a satellite facility in Pinole, West County. We've wanted for a long time to be able to, because certainly there's a need for it, for a facility out here in East County. When I first came to the county in 2004, we had kind of started to work on that, but the economy things kind of happened, and I don't need to talk about that too much, but that kind of got derailed for a bit of time. We also operate a high-volume, low-cost spay-neuter clinic, and that's for the public. That's been extremely effective. There we provide spay-neuter surgeries for the public. We do about 40 surgeries 5 days a week, and we also do a vaccination clinic on the weekends. Anybody that's ever gone to a private vet, it can cost, if you have a dog 70, 65 to 100 pounds, it can cost anywhere from $250 to $400, depending on pay for it. For us, the price varies according to the size of the dog, but it's probably anywhere from about $80 up to about $150, and we have a lot of demand for that. That's been extremely helpful in trying to reduce pet overpopulation. In this county, and our spay-neuter clinic had a lot to do with that. Over the last couple of decades, because it's about the beginning of the 80s, Contra Costa County was handling about 45,000 animals a year, and we're now down to 17,000 animals a year, so that's about what we handle in 1 year. At the shelter, we provide care for all the animals that come in. We provide lost and found services, so anyone that has lost a pet, you can come to the shelter, look. You can also go on our website, ccasd.org, and we have photos of almost every animal that gets picked up. You can also see photos and get some information of animals that we have for adoption. All the animals that get adopted are spayed and neutered. They're all vaccinated before they go out. They're provided all kinds of medical care. We are what's called an open admissions facility. That means we take anything and everything. The nice ones, the nasty ones, the young ones, the old ones. We have a foster program. Last year, we had nearly 3,000 kittens that went through the foster program. They weren't old enough to be placed. So that's been very effective in trying to place and save as many animals as we can. We have a volunteer program of over 150 volunteers. They do everything from working with the animals when they're in the shelter. They do mobile adoptions at multiple locations throughout the county.
working with our humane education program. We do pet emergency fairs. We do humane education classrooms, programs and classroom for kids throughout the county. Year before last, we won an award from the National Association of Humane Educators. We were able to go to over 5,000 kids in 1 year, so that's a pretty effective program. Anybody that's interested in volunteering to be a part of that, you can go to our website and you can see that. In terms of, I was kind of asked to just give an overview of kind of rules, regulations. Essentially, I'm going to leave a lot of that to questions, but just generally speaking, all animals are required to be licensed. We do a lot of license enforcement. We do leash law enforcement. Depending upon the calls that come in, we dispatch officers to different parts of the county to do stray patrols. We do a lot of, we spend a lot of time on enforcement of the dangerous dog ordinance. That covers everything from the animal that gets out and just looks intimidating to animals that actually are a threat to both animals and to people as well. 3 years ago, we did a major upgrade on the animal control ordinance because the number of bites across the country is way too high and there are far too many nasty animals out there. We were pretty effective, I believe, at upgrading the ordinance. We have one of the best dangerous dog ordinances in the country. What separates ours from others is one of the things that we do is we have added a section that requires that any convicted felon is required to have a permit to keep a dog that, if it's over 20 pounds, that may cause, if misused, could cause a problem with public safety. We don't just, quote, go out looking for felons. It tends to come up, but it has been very effective, particularly in dealing with dope dealers, a lot of bad guys, dope dealers, people like that. They all tend to have pit bulls. And prior to that, we didn't have a lot of strength to be able to go after some of these people. But now with that ordinance, when they come to our attention, we can either take the dogs, or if we allow them to keep them, it gives us the ability to do an inspection on the property, that type of thing. A lot of the police departments across the country call us about that because it's been a very effective tool for them as well. I don't want to go on too long. I know you have a long agenda, and I was told there were a few people asking questions, so I'm open to any questions anybody may have.
Appreciate that. First, I would start with the board. Any questions from the board? Ray?
Yeah. I called you a while back, and then I figured you might come, so I waited. One of my neighbors had an issue because people next door had too many dogs, and I said she should call your office. And when she called, they didn't want it. They just said you need to go to your town. Well, she said, but they don't do that. And they wouldn't answer. They wouldn't deal with her question or anything. They basically said she had to come to us. We don't do that. I mean, we look for you.
What we do when for cities, we leave it to the cities to do. For the unincorporated parts, there is an animal limit. Two dogs, three cats, but we don't do a whole lot of enforcement for that. Mainly what we're looking at when it comes to too many animals is how the animals are cared for. If necessary, we will use that ordinance, but we do know that there are some people that can very easily, with no problem, take care of two or three or four. And most of our problems come from people that actually have one. So we've generally found that it's not so much a numbers issue, but a care and treatment issue. So if it's a noise issue, we'll deal with the noise issue. If it's a lack of care, we'll deal with that issue. If it's in sanitary conditions or something like that, we will deal with that. If necessary, we will pull the trigger and have them reduce the number of animals. But that would be for the unincorporated part of the town.
Thank you. Any board? Comments?
Yeah, I got one. In our park, Cornell, we have a problem with dogs being off the leash all day long, any given hour of the day, small dogs, big dogs. Everyone, the minute they walk into the park, they take their dog off the leash. We post in our rules that be on the leash. So should we call you when I see that, or?
Yes, you can call animal service, and what we'll do is we send people out of patrol. I looked at that. We have come out a number of times at Cornell Park, and we have done some patrolling. We try to target the times of the day that we it looks like that we're getting complaints. We have issued citations out there, but if you see that, yes, to call Animal Services.
Thank you.
Okay, public questions. Yes, sir.
Gary, come up.
Please come up to the mic because we're recorded and we want the town to have a benefit of hearing your comments.
I'm Gary Tucker. I'm a local resident, and my two dogs were attacked by some pit bulls. And I wanted to thank your department for the great job they did in investigating it. They came out. They did a great job. We didn't catch the people, but they did everything they could. But in comment with about the loose dogs, Brian, I think you're trying to have a war on drugs here, and that won't work. You know, most of us have dogs that we let off leashes. Okay, let's be honest. So the thing is, let's have a place for them to come off the leash. I don't know if your feelings are one way or the other about dog parks, but I would like if you had an opinion as to what kind of a dog park and how successful they are. But I know where I used to live, they were great, and now I don't have a dog park. And to be honest with you, I let my dogs go off leash because they need to run, they need to exercise, and I watch them very carefully, and they're little tiny dogs. But let's be real now, people do let their dogs off leash, and I don't think the solution is the punitive way at all. Thank you.
Any comment on that? With regards to any experience you have with dog parks or not dogs, is that out of your jurisdiction?
I think dog parks are good ideas. One, because dogs need to run, and I think you're quite right. There's probably very few people that actually own a dog that at some point don't let it off the leash. So since we know that's going to happen, ideally, if there's a place for it, I think there needs to be a place where animals can be off leash. I personally like them to be leashed, fenced or somehow so there's a specific area to make sure it's separated. Also, there need to be rules in dog parks. Generally speaking, pretty much police themselves. Because if you had a dog parked area or a dog run area, actually I don't like the term dog park, because then people think you're designating a whole park just for dogs. I like a dog run area. And if it's fenced and with certain rules, making sure mainly that people that have animals that are aggressive to other dogs, they should never, ever let the dog off a leash, and they should never, ever bring that dog to a dog run area or a dog park. That's the wrong thing to do.
Other comments? Did you have another comment, ma'am? I thought I saw your hand up. No?
Yes. I have two.
Please come to the mic.
One, just as a matter of curiosity, what's your kill rate, your dog kill rate in the shelter?
I have to answer it this way. We don't go by what the kill rate is. I don't think that's the right way to talk about it, because what we do is we have a live release rate. We are able to, of all the dogs that come into the shelter, of the dogs that are actually, dogs and cats that are actually adoptable, the majority of those animals are adopted. We euthanize very, very few healthy dogs and cats. The majority of the animals that we have to euthanize are dogs that are aggressive. We are, for example, pit bulls and pit bull mixes are the number one breed that comes into the shelter. We had last year 2,000 of those coming in. The next, in terms of breed, under that was Chihuahuas, which was 700. Of those pit bulls that came in, almost 80% of those had to be euthanized, and they were euthanized because of aggression or because they were nasty. So I'm sorry I can't answer the question about what the kill rate is. What we try to do is place absolutely every single animal that we deal with. We work with over 100 rescue groups. We saved over 3,000 kittens last year. So I hope I'm answering your question.
Some places know what their rate is of dogs that are abandoned or brought in. If you don't know, you don't know.
Well, I do know. I have to be honest, I just don't like the way that's phrased, because it makes it sound like we want to kill animals. That's not what we do. But the animals that come in, we are right at that 69-70% live release rate. So about 30% of all the animals that come into the shelter end up being euthanized. And the euthanasia is really driven by pit bulls, pit bull mixes, and feral cats.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it. Secondly, what about dog parks that have no segregation of small dogs from large dogs. Because there's a wonderful dog park in Brentwood. I'm sure people think it's terrific. But I would not take my dogs there. They weigh 12 pounds. And people come in with dogs that have been locked up all day, let them off the leash. Even sweet dogs, like golden retrievers and et cetera, they'll just trample my little ones.
Ideally, the best dog parks or dog run areas have a separation of large and small dogs. You're welcome.
Great. Thank you. Great. Good answer. I think that was the answer she was looking for, actually. Just a hunch. Any other comments or questions, excuse me, for the director? Actually, questions for Director Howell, not comments. Any? Go ahead, Director.
Director Howell, first of all, thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate it. I know you worked a long day before you got to come out here. We're talking about dog parks and people having their dogs off the leash. And obviously, when people get home, they want to take the dog out. You want to let the dog run. You have people that have pit bulls that if you ask them, they'll say, my pit bull's a very friendly dog, and it's fine. And then you let the dog off the leash, and the dog kills another dog. How do you distinguish if you're telling people, we're not going to enforce the leash law, and you can take your dog to a dog park, but you can't let it off the leash, when if you do let it off the leash, you can't say, well, you let it off the leash, and now the guy's pit bull ate your dog. I don't understand how you distinguish that. I don't know if that made any sense to you or not.
That becomes a civil part.
Well, I'm sure it does.
Well, first of all, what I like to see are designated dog run areas or dog parks, whatever you want to call them, and where there's a place for to be able to let them off leash. But as I stated before, if your dog is aggressive with other animals, and that means if sometimes it gets in dog fights or it starts dog fights or quickly fights, it shouldn't even, in my opinion, it shouldn't even be taken to an off-leash dog run area. People like that need to go get some training and get their animals socialized. Because dog parks and dog exercise areas, they're not a panacea. It really, for them to be effective, it means that the owners need to be responsible and honest about the behavior of their dogs. Hold on, have I answered your question?
I think you have. Okay. Again, thank you for coming out. Thank you for your time. And it's very timely for you to be here because this is a big consideration for the town at this point. And as we move into approving a lot of different things, I think that this is a real good issue for us to address with regards to dog parks. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The only one that gets to hide behind the pillar. Somebody else has got to get out of here when we can see it.
Thank you.
I was going to say it's nice to see
the post. I don't just see the post.
I know. our esteemed sheriff is here this evening, or at least Lieutenant Burton is here to speak to us.
You're still esteemed.
Are you steamed? Making you sit in the parking lot?
I told Chief Henderson, you guys don't clap for us. What's that?
We're clapping inside for you, my gosh.
I'll bet you are. It'll be a gift on your car.
Thank you so much.
Mine's the Mercedes.
No, it's not.
Let's see if he's got up-to-date tags on there.
This week's.
Well, we have had a busy month. We've had 8 residential burglaries this month, which is really concerning. It's no different story than we've been talking about. I have got some special enforcement stuff lined up for the next several weeks. You see an increase in the presence of deputies during them. We've really tried to dial down the times of occurrence and that sort of thing. As well as I'm going to adjust the resident deputy's hours to try and meet the hours of what the statistical data is telling us. There's no doubt in my mind that it's local people doing it. I have I'm very confident that it's people that are amongst us. I don't believe it's people coming from outside. It's the we've had a couple where we've had suspicious circumstances that were less than burglaries, where people get a knock on the door, they don't answer, they hear the front door, you know, jiggle.
Wow.
Security screens, you know, rattling, things of that nature. And when a resident makes their presence known, the people have fled. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten any descriptions of people thus far, but we are taking steps to address it. I would remind everybody again, I have never in my 20 years as a deputy sheriff never seen a successful residential burglary where there was a working burglar alarm in place. And if we can secure those side garage doors, keep doors locked, and people, especially people, if you have an alarm, by all means use it. It's a great tool. Put the sign up in your front yard, and hopefully the crooks are going to go down the street. There's been a number of studies done and crooks interviewed, lifetime crooks who, you know, when asked about their habits and that, they talk about alarms and the fact that if I go to a house and there's an alarm sign in front, I'll go to the house next door that doesn't have an alarm sign. So just food for thought. And by all means, if you see people out and about, somebody doesn't fit, please call us. Yes, we are very short-staffed, but we will get to you when we can, because we need to start to establish some patterns of behavior, some suspect descriptions and things like that. So we need your help. In terms of the report this month, the things that sort of stood out to me, the possession of dangerous drugs was a female suspect arrested for possession of methamphetamine. You see the residential burglaries there. We did have an interesting case. I know that we've talked in the past about, two things. Theft of packages. We had an incident where a woman comes up, guy sees her take the package off this porch, he tackles her, they have a melee in the street, she runs off, gets picked up. We had another one where we got a kind of a vague report of a woman stealing a package from the neighbor's house, but there was virtually no description of that person other than it was a woman. If you're getting packages, you know, most of us have an idea of when our UPS person comes. I believe that on a lot of websites you can check the, you know, that you want a signature. You want the UPS man to have to get a signature. Kind of a pain sometimes. It's nice to have that convenience of the package being there when you get home. But either that or designate, you know, postman, please take to the next door neighbor, take to the next door neighbor or somebody that's going to be home, because people are just driving around following the UPS guys around and stealing what they leave behind. The other thing was we had a person called. What I believe was an elderly victim, claimed that they were a third prize winner in the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. The person was so excited they willingly gave up their name, social security number, bank accounts for the money to be transferred and so on. And I know we sit here and you think, wait a million years, would I never do that? And it's just, you know, we've talked about this for a long time. I know we've brought it up at various times. And again, I would just remind people, never give your personal information out over the phone. There's no reason for it in these times. I know I had a big argument with AT&T wanted me to give my social security number so I could get a new phone, and I'm talking to a guy who was actually in India. And, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And I called them. So just be very cautious of that.
Any questions from the board? Brian?
I don't know if you know an answer to this question now, but maybe you can bring it back to us. The county budget, I think, was preliminary adopted yesterday. Do you have any idea how that's going to affect us in this county? Because I've heard of some positions being cut.
We're definitely, well, nothing is definite at this point, but if you read the paper, saw the news, they're talking about, you know, 30 to 40 deputy sheriff positions. That can come out in a lot of different ways. I believe that we're going to see a restructuring in the sheriff's office, particularly the command staff, that I believe is going to save some of those positions. we do have a vacancy rate, so at times we, although we lose the positions, we're not actually losing a live body. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know where a cup would come from at this point in East County. Other than maybe taking the lieutenant's position out and having them work under, a central command kind of a thing, they're just, our staffing level is pathetic. And I'm very thankful that we have the resident deputies, because that really is the only extra that I have that I can use to address problems here. Problems in other areas either go unaddressed, or I've got to try and, beg, barter, and steal with our special enforcement team or something like that to get issues in other parts of, unincorporated Brentwood, Bethel Island, Knights, and Byron. I don't have anything to address those problems. So it's not pretty. I know that I personally take, and this is, I'm not a politician, but it's very offensive to me, the amount of money that the Board of Supervisors commit to County Hospital every year.
Yeah.
It's absolutely offensive to me as a resident of Contra Costa County. That is a bleeding artery, and it's very frustrating that all of public safety is being cut, and despite the fact that they insist that that is public safety, they're adding positions to the County Hospital. And it's offensive to me as a resident of Contra Costa County. As I've said before, I'm a deputy, not a politician, so that's all you'll get out of it.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
When is the when's the Marine Patrol, or has that started? And do you have staff scheduled for the next 4 months for the water?
Yeah, they're ramping up, Chris, for the summer season. I know we had an accident today. As it came out, today was a really crazy day for a number of reasons for the sheriff's office. But we had either a woman fall off a jet ski or be thrown off a jet ski. I'm not sure what her status was, because I was in the middle of something else, but it just kind of struck me as, okay, kind of day one of boating season, week one, and we've already got an accident. So the Marine Patrol folks are ramping up. The good news with them, budget-wise, is that the majority, I would say about 75% of their staff, is funded by other sources than the county fund, so you'll continue to see. And they've got some real good reserves that work over there, so you'll see them starting to ramp up. They'll adjust their hours back to the summer season hours. You'll see my infamous sign trailer go out here in a few weeks, and I'm going to try and mentally abuse you into not having fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Also, the new paint scheme on the cars look really good.
Yeah, the black and white, it turned out real good. What they're going to do, originally they were going to do some repainting of some newer cars, but with the budget being what it is, the sheriff has decided just as new cars come in, it doesn't cost us anymore. And actually, the decal scheme that's on the new black and whites is a fraction of the decals that are on the white cars. So overall, it's a change, but it actually saves us money. The black and whites don't cost us any more money.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford's going to quit making the Crown Vicks, and so we're in the process of testing some Chargers, Chevy Caprice, and then Ford. Is making an SUV that's a pursuit rated type vehicle, and so you may see those types of vehicles out. And just understand, it's not us going out and buying fancy cars. If you see them, it's prototypes that are being sent to us to test, so that we can figure out where we're going to go after the Crown Vic service.
You show an escape from the boys' ranch. Did they catch you?
Yes.
Which isn't all that hard to do. But.
Right.
Walk away.
In the orange jumpsuit.
Any other
questions?
Unfortunately,
those kids tend not to think things through. And when the kid from the west end of the county gets out into,
goes home.
The wilderness of the cornfield in Brentwood, they don't know which way to go. So.
Thank you.
Rick?
Anybody else?
I just wanted to thank Lieutenant Burton. If you could please pass on to your staff our appreciation for Saturday's splash pad event. They were there with two vehicles and entertaining kids, and they were out there doing very, very good public PR.
Good.
It was very, very nice.
There's so many different events over the course of the summer season, especially. So if folks have most of the events I'm familiar with, some slip through the cracks. So if you have something where you feel like you might want deputy sheriff presence there, just let me know the sooner the better so I can kind of get you on the calendar because those guys are in high demand.
I'd like some guys at my house on the 4th of July evening, please. Because I'm so tired of knowing.
Like, you have to ask?
Forget it. I give up. I quit. Any comments from the public? I'm done.
I have one. On the second page, assault, simple. What constitutes a simple assault? What is that?
What were its 4 pounds?
6049.
Thank you.
Right. He's got something else. He's got it.
Oh.
Page 6 of 11.
You didn't mean to make it so difficult.
No, you're fine. In this particular case, this was an assault. I don't know why it comes up as. Does it read as simple assault?
It says assault, simple.
Well, a deputy was injured, so maybe they were calling the deputy simple because it was a big old deputy who was tangled with a 105-pound young lady who didn't want to go along with the program, and he twisted his knee. So the amount of abuse that deputy has taken over that, I mean, there was, you know, defensive tactics, school flyers left in his box, there were discussions about, you know, man cards and things like that.
And the final part of the joke was they put that there so people would ask about it so it would get publicized even more.
I won't tell you the deputy's name, but you all know him.
Okay. Any other questions from the public for Lieutenant Burton?
I do have a question on the 11 burglaries. Are they pretty much 8?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to explain that. Virgil. Do you know if they're day, night, or mix in between there?
Quite a bit is daytime.
Quite a bit is daytime.
As we've discussed before, you know, I'll try and drive around midday after, a lot of times after kind of the joggers and dog walkers and folks have gone in. You know, if people on the street walking around stand out like crazy. So it's very frustrating to me at this point because we've really worked to try and figure out, you know, try and dial out who this is. I know there's a couple cases that the people that we believe are responsible knew the victims, knew their patterns. You know, a lot of us, you know, get up and go to work in the morning and our house is unattended for the day, and we have people around that know that. I believe that there's probably an element of service people that come to the community that are here by on okay terms. They have a reason for being here, but they're taking advantage of that because they're here as the whatever, you know, repair person, maintenance person.
Thanks. Any other questions? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's for Hugh. That's we're trying to catch you both coming and going.
And while Chief Henderson's coming up, we'd like to pass along our appreciation for sending out one of his rigs to our splash pad grand opening as well. And they were
good
out
guys.
There, put little hats on the kids, fire hats on the kids, and really enjoyed their time out there. We fed them, we gave them cookies to take back with them. So I think
you got those cookies, right?
They wanted one. I think they wanted next week too. So, but thank you very much.
If I get enough of those, I need to make sure. We have plenty of
things.
Are you really
Andy Ward, senior fire chief for East Contra Costa Fire. Chief Burst looks like he's gonna be on another couple months, so. Get me in replacement. So kind of start off with April's calls for service. Total calls of service were 41 for the month of April, which is about 18 calls less than we actually had in March. So it had a little bit of a low as far as the engine goes. When you break down those calls, there were 5 fire responses, 30 medical responses, and 6 other calls, hazards, conditions, cancels, and alarms. when you compare that to the rest of the district was also down about 22 calls from last year at this time. Total calls for the district for us, our 6 inches in our contract with Cal Fire were a total of 557 calls for the month. So we're still staying pretty busy, even though this engine had a little slower month. A little update on Monday night's board meeting. The benefit assessment report, the engineer's report that we talked about in last month's meeting was brought back to the board. The board, after reviewing it and asking questions of the consultant, did not accept the report, and the report's kind of going back to the drawing table. Also, board members requested to look at some other options to come back at our June meeting when it comes to revenue. One decision that was kind of made on as far as the budget goes, and it's got its goods and its bad, or its ups and its downs. The board is going to maintain staffing levels as we currently have as we continue into the next fiscal year, as we continue looking for revenue sources. That has me pretty nervous, to be honest with you, because we start the fiscal year with about $3.3 million in reserves. If we stay status quo with our staffing model, we're going to end the year with about $500,000 reserves. So we're going to be tightened down pretty tight on that. Good news is for the district and to get our ninth board member, and I'd like to introduce tonight our newest board member and a resident of Discovery Bay, John Jewell.
Head up, John.
He was appointed yesterday by the Board of Supervisors to take the ninth position on the board. John's already been to my office and already trying to get started today, and we're going to have a long meeting tomorrow to get.
Did he get the station open back up yet?
That he has not.
Okay.
Give him the keys.
Keep working on it.
Give him the keys.
So with that, I'm available for any questions that you might have.
All staff.
Any questions from the board? I will make one comment about the meeting. I was at Monday night, I guess it was, at the ECCFPD meeting, and that is that Discovery Bay has been consistent with being at that meeting, attending either myself or other board members or people from the public have been consistent at the meeting for the last 6 months, probably, huh?
Since we started.
And I think the board is listening to what we have to say, and we got some acknowledgement about some comments we made. And it's difficult because, you know, we don't agree on a lot of stuff, but there was some acknowledgement by the board with regards to some points that were made about Discovery Bay and the response times that we're actually seeing out here, and I was happy about that. It wasn't just didn't look at you and nod and then not address what you said. And I think that there's going to be some things coming forward. Some of the board members indicated that there's going to be some serious looking at what's going on out here and as part of their. There's talk at this point, but at least it was talk we weren't hearing a few months ago. So I was pleased about that. Well, I have a report on that. Any questions for Chief from the, yes, Baron?
We have a few empty lots that we left to send courtesy notices regarding need abatement. Usually we reference your ordinance but I think there's it just says that when fire season starts, or kind of when it kicks in, when they have to start reducing the weeds, and I don't think that's a typical date.
And this year, we'll probably be sending those out about the 15th of this month.
Okay.
We'll send a notice out to all the properties that we've done in the past. You'll also probably start seeing something in the press. And then if somebody has a complaint or there's a lot that doesn't look like it's getting any attention, that you can contact our administration office, and then we'll send somebody out to check it and follow it up with a letter. You know, for the last several years, especially with budget, we haven't been able to hire contractors like we did 4 and 5 years ago, and then try to backfill for on tax rolls and everything like that. We've done it more on noticing, and we've had pretty good luck on that. You know, it's going to be an interesting season. We had a very wet winter. East of Brentwood and south of Brentwood, we're still fairly green. We're starting to brown up a little bit as you get north of Brentwood, and especially if you get in the Knights and Oakley area, we're real dry and we could burn any time. The state will do their first round of declaring fire season around the 16th of May, and then the full season will be declared probably the first or second weekend in June. So again, if you have a neighbor or there's a lot that you drive by all the time, please give us a call and we'll be happy to work on getting them notified.
Virgil, did you have some?
I did. A question comes in more into the ambulance on medical for transport. The last couple of days when I followed my scanner, I noticed we had a situation out here where an ambulance had to come out from Concord because the other one, the local one in Brentwood, probably was tied up on some other call. And then there must be some type of a protocol, but the station decided to take that person in rather than wait for the ambulance to come in.
Actually, that was a special, it was kind of a special kind of thing. AMR within the county has some special ambulances, they call them bariatric ambulances, so they're for very large people. A couple nights ago, we did have an emergency with a person that was well over 500 pounds. They were trying, especially getting the person off the second story from their bedroom down the stairs and everything, and that, so they were trying to get the special ambulance, has a larger gurney, also has an electric gurney that lifts the patient so you're not using a bunch of people for lifting and everything like that. So they were first trying that to see if it was going, but based on the condition of the patient, we sent a couple, we ended up I think with three engines on scene by the time we were done to help move the patient downstairs and get there. So if you look at it, you know, we had half the crews on duty to get there to take care of the emergency. But so that was kind of a special circumstance. You know, we do run into times, just like fire apparatus, that we get so many emergencies all hit at a certain time that, you know, things are moving across from far apart. Normally in the Far East County, there's somewhere, depending on the time of day, from 5 to 7 ambulances, but there's times that we can use all those resources in a 10-minute, 12-minute span.
Within
the district. Same thing happens, you know, where we get multiple emergencies, where we have fire engines doing the same thing. So, I mean, those systems are built and the equipment's moving and stuff like that, but the incident you were talking about was kind of a unique, special incident there.
Any other questions for Chief Henderson? Thank you again for coming. Thanks for all your hard work. We appreciate it. Karen, I'm just going to swap things real quick on you, okay? I'm going to ask, we have John Ober here this evening from the Department of Conservation and Development to give us a report on things that are happening. John, good to see you again. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you. My name's John Ober. I'm with the Planning Department in Contra County. I have some maps I've got to hand out. I'll hand it up here too. If there's not enough, just feel free to share with your paper. This map shows, well, here, I need to keep the copy.
We have some extras coming around from here too.
Okay. This map shows the active projects within Discovery Bay. What I mean by active is the developer is actively working on the application with the county at this point. There are other projects that are not at their, for instance, the business park at the beginning of Bixler Road. I noticed there's a sign out there. We haven't heard from the person in over a year. So these are active projects in Discovery Bay. And what I want to do is just tell you about the status, where we are in terms of the process. And I'll start with Pantages. We're moving to complete an EIR for this project. I would say that we anticipate that sometime this year, sometime in the middle of this year. At that point, it goes on the county website. Everybody can have access to it. There's a 45-day period in which we take comments from the public and then we respond to them. And then after the EIR is released, there's a public hearing, and then a decision is made. There's at least two public hearings, the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors. And anyone is invited from the public to attend. The second project that I'd like to address is the Newport Point project. The status on that is we are working on an environmental document, and that should be, and we anticipate that being out sometime this year. I say anticipated because oftentimes, well, especially now, we the information coming in because of the economy, some people are more motivated, or sometimes they submit things and then wait, other times they wait a while. So it is an anticipation. And then the third project is the village at Discovery Bay. And that planner is working on that, and we anticipate that that will be towards the end of this year and possibly next year. So, is there any questions?
Questions from the board?
On the Newport Point project, isn't that zoning at Ag 3 there? Agricultural land there? Does that require a rezone?
Yeah, it may. Yes, it may. It probably does. All these projects, each one of these three, require a general plan amendment, a rezoning, a development plan, and a subdivision. So, yes. And the same process I described for Pantages would occur with these other projects as well. The environmental document would be released, the public would be able to comment, there'll be public hearings afterwards where you can voice your concerns if you have any.
Other questions from the board? Brian?
The villages at Discovery Bay, community center, is that... They're still trying. Are they? Have they done anything differently from when they brought it to us? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure. It's a proposal. It's an element of the project. So I'm not sure of the actual.
Your description comes from the developers, correct? This is how they present it to you.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what I want to clarify.
Thank you.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Questions, comments from the public, please, Mrs. Richardson.
The last time I asked this question was about a year ago. These Project Pantages and Newport, do they have will serve letters? We don't have the capacity to serve these people. Water and wastewater.
They haven't got to that point yet.
What?
They haven't got to that point yet.
I know, but that comes before this board, before the project is in the completion stages. Is that true?
The project would be required to comply with the general plan, and the general plan states that before building permits are issued, they need a will serve letter.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Barber?
At the stage these projects are the developers paying you right now for the county's work? And
yes, they are.
And do they pay in advance, or do you bill them? How does that work?
Generally, at the beginning of the application, they pay a deposit. And in any one of these instances, it's a substantial amount of money, and we work against that. And then once we go over it, they're billed for the, it becomes a running balance. Yes.
Any other questions or comments for John? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for coming out. I know it's a long way for you. Appreciate the update.
Oh,
and,
I appreciate it.
I know you contact. Please do this on a regular basis for us. We'd appreciate that
okay.
As things change.
Right. And in that regard, I would, because things in this economy, it's a different reality than 5 years
sure.
ago, let's say. I would say once every 6 months.
Okay.
I mean, that's about what I'm gauging it at. Would be a reasonable...
That and unless we get some letters from the county asking us to comment on something,
well
know that activity levels changed also.
Right. Well, if there's anything new, I would definitely come out before
thanks.
That. But
thanks, John.
That
appreciate
case.
Your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Karen. Representing Supervisor Pifo's office.
Good evening. Again, I want to thank Director Howell and John O'Born from the Department of Conservation and Development for coming out tonight. If there's any other presentations from county departments that you'd like, please feel free to contact our office and we will work to arrange those. First, I'd like to let you guys know that on April 11th, Supervisor Pifo testified at a congressional hearing in Fresno. She testified in an effort to counteract the ongoing attempts to erode the federal and state protections on the Delta. The Delta is still a major priority for Contra Costa County, the supervisor. We're working diligently on that. Congressman Garamendi hosted a wonderful farm and salmon summit last week. It was well attended, so the fight goes on. Redistricting is definitely taking place. Again, that is based off the 2010 census, and now all districts need to have the same population numbers, or about the same. The Department of Conservation and Development will be holding public input meetings during the weeks of May 16th and May 23rd. It appears that the closest one to you guys will be in Brentwood on the evening of May 25th. I'll be sure to send the CSD updates once it's completely confirmed with the location and times, as well to our email database. I'm sure you're all aware, and you've seen them out there. The Department of Boating and Waterways is out working on the treatment of Aguirre Denza. We have had a couple concerns from the community that we've passed on to the Department of Boating and Waterways, and they're working on making sure they get close enough to people's docks and really getting to the treatment. So if there is any concerns, please feel free to contact the department directly or our office, and we'll be sure to pass that on. I'm not sure if I told you guys, but the Board of Supervisors approved the purchase of 2.83 acres off Technology Lane in Brentwood for the future development of an East County Government Center. It's right off Highway 4 by the Jack in the Box. It's a good marker for you. It's vacant land right now. I'm sure you guys have seen the big signs about Highway 4 road closure starting yesterday through, I believe, tomorrow. That is District 10 for Caltrans, so it's not really our local district, but we do get their information, and that is to install rumble strips from the San Joaquin Contra Costa County line to Roberts Island Road. And again, the closures are taking place from May 3rd through Friday, May 6th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., so I know many of you travel Highway 4, just be aware of that. Reminder of the upcoming household hazardous waste collections events. And as previously mentioned, it definitely is budget season. I am by no means an expert on the county budgets and what's going on. So if you have any questions, please feel free to contact our office and I will be sure to get you the answers.
Thank you, Karen. I sure wish that they would spend more money making the road smoother than just putting in rumble strips so you know when you're flying off of it.
So. They've already got rumble strips.
Yeah, it's built-in rumble strips. But anyway, and the fact that I have to go to Sacramento tonight doesn't please me too much. Yeah, I'll take the chopper. Any questions for the supervisor's office from the board? And yes, Chris.
Do you have any update on the wind farm they were talking about replacing wind?
The Vasco Wind Farm project was approved by the Planning Commission last Tuesday, the 26th of April. Yeah, I believe that was last Tuesday.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Any questions from the public for Karen? Yes.
So Karen, do you know which bays they have treated? We're in Lado Bay, and we were wondering.
They started treatment in both of the areas that were designated Area 1 and 2. They started in Area 1 the first Tuesday that they said they were, which I believe was April 12th. And they started, I believe, last week in Area 2. I would have to be looking at a map to let you know.
And we have that on our website.
It's on the website.
And it's listed that way, so if you would like to look it up, you can. Any other questions? Karen, again, thank you for your time. Give our best to the supervisor. That is it for our agency reports. I would, is Mr. Steele here?
No.
Okay, so we will not have a, Rick, did you have any, you were at a couple of these meetings, weren't you?
I was at the code enforcement meeting with
Karen. Any report there for us?
Cornell, I was at one last week.
Okay.
And I put in the back of the room and noticed that Patty Cookson in the county, Contra Costa County code enforcement, emailed to me regarding boat and trailers as well as basketball games. They're going to start enforcing in our community here coming in the very near future. So there is a flyer in the back of the room, so go ahead and pick one up if you're interested. And also, Patty Cookson will be at the first meeting in June, the June 1st meeting, to discuss code enforcement issues specifically.
Great, thank you. Okay.
Questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Have they set a date for code enforcement for the trailers?
Now, that wouldn't be very nice to do if they did that, would it? They have not set a date, but they will be out. They will be notifying. They're not going to come out and cite you right away. They're going to work with you. If you have a trailer in your front yard, they're going to want to work with you to find another location for it before they cite you.
Are they communicating with the homeowner associations to enforce that?
You know, that would be a great question for her when she comes in for something. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, of course I do.
What is it? The homeowner association doesn't have any jurisdiction over that, though. It's strictly a county thing, so I don't know.
It's a good way to communicate.
I know. The private ones do.
I'm sorry?
The private ones do. The private HOAs do have that.
Like the golf course.
Oh, like ours?
No. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions with regards to... we don't have anybody else here representing any of those other committees, and so we'll move on to the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any comment from the board? Any questions from the public? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. New business. Resolution 2010. This is relatively simple.
Yeah, this is a
comment on this.
This is just an adopted, approved resolution 2011-10 for Herwood Engineering to prepare the 2011-2012 annual assessment report for the Ravenswood Improvement District, Discovery Bay Landscape and Lighting Zone 8. It's an annual resolution that has to take place prior to the engineer's report going out. This is very administrative in nature. If you have any questions, Karen, can you address those?
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded. Is there any discussion? Any discussion from the public? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item two.
This item should make Director Tetreault happy. This is the item before you tonight is for the replacement of the roof of this building here. As many of you know, it does leak even in times of moderate rainfall. We generally get by when it drizzles, but when it comes down moderately or heavy, we do get wet. When we are expecting heavy rain, especially over a weekend, we do sometimes, or I know I have for sure, cover computers, put things away just to make sure that they don't get damaged. So we sent out an RFP a couple weeks ago. We received three bids back, and we recommend that EG Roofing come in and replace our roof in the amount of $14,397. It's just repairing a roof on a building that we purchased used, and we've been using for about 10 years now. So the building is long, and it's in three different parts. So the leaks tend to be in those where the seams are. And I think that this is an appropriate price for what we're getting, and we recommend approval.
Director Simon.
Rick, I noticed that they're quite a bit lower than our next bid. Have we got any references on it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we discussed that at length last week. EG Roofing came in lower, and they actually proposed a more efficient method of repair, which was the reason for the discrepancy in the price. And after discussing it with Frank
Kramer,
our internal in-house engineering guy, he recommended that we go with this company versus the other. And originally we were going with the other company, but after we looked at it, we felt this is the best way to go. And we also ran it by legal to make sure, because we did have a couple questions about it, but we're very confident in it.
We've used them on three other projects, three other buildings within Discovery Bay or within the district the past 12 years.
And I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've been around for a while.
Any questions, any other questions or comments from the board? Any questions or, I entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion that we accept DG Roofing. Do you want not to exceed $15,000?
That would be fine.
Okay, $15,000, I'll say.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Comments from the public? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item three, another.
Item three is before you tonight for a recommended effective date of July 1st with our new fiscal year. It is requesting the adoption of Resolution 2011-11, establishing an administrative fee for water-related services. At this point in time, we don't charge any fees for things such as return checks, late charges. If people have their water turned off and we have to go back out and turn it off at nighttime, we don't have any method or mechanism to collect on any of those fees. So what staff has done is put together a comparison of what other neighboring agencies do, and we went ahead and actually brought this before our budget review committee at their last meeting just to get their feedback on it, and they approved it. Actually, they recommended we forward it on to the board. So there is a description of fees that are identified in the staff report as one of the attachments that identify the types of fees and what they're for and that sort of thing. So I think this is probably one of those items that is probably a long time coming, but it's here.
Okay. Any discussion by the board? Comments or discussion from the public? Wave your hand so I can see if you're okay. Not hearing any?
Make a motion.
Did you just make a motion?
I know, but I will.
Okay.
Adoption, I move that we adopt Resolution 2011-11 establishing an administrative fee schedule for water-related services.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Last chance for discussion. Not hearing any, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item four, consideration or approval of overnight camping for the Great America Campout. I believe that we have Amanda Dove here to speak on this. Did staff have any comments on this prior to us hearing this, Dove?
No. Well, the only comments we have is we've been working with Ms. Dove and the group that she's been working with and have identified a number of conditions that we would like to have put in place. We've gone over those with her, and those are listed on the cover sheet of the staff report. I don't need to go into them unless you want us to.
Okay, just a couple quick questions, and then we'll ask Amanda to come up and give a brief presentation.
Yeah,
and that is that, have you worked with council on this to make sure that all liabilities and such have been taken care of?
Yes, Mr. President, when you look at the waiver form that's attached, it's only a waiver form for minors. So I have drafted and forwarded on to staff an additional waiver for adult participants as well.
Thank you, council. We've worked with our landscape department, our landscape and park manager to make sure that we're on board with any necessary issues that she might have.
She actually drafted the reports.
I had a hunch. In that case, I would invite Amanda to come up and give us a brief overview of what we're talking about here.
You'll help me welcome Karen Murray from REI also.
Hi, Karen.
Karen gave me a call a few months ago, and Karen and I know each other, of course, through her work at REI, but also scouting, and REI does a lot of projects there, and she brought the Great American Campout to my attention. Told me that cities across the country were doing this, and what was the chance that the Discovery Bay could get involved, and that REI had a lot of support behind it, and so here I am before you today with some of the details, and hoping that we can use Cornell Park and invite our community to come out to a great free night in the park.
Great. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm tripping on something else, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Karen Murray.
Hi, Karen Murray, REI. REI has made it their priority this year to connect families with the outdoors. And they have gone on a national sponsorship with the Great America Backyard Campout. And in this case, it would be more or less a backyard camp out. We were reaching out into other different parks, more of the regional parks. But the town of Discovery Bay still has that small town. Everybody gets together, everybody does everything, which is very, very evident. I mean, even Paddle of Fame, the amount of people that have come out to that. And when we were talking about the Paddle of Fame, it was just seemed like the next step to invite those families to come out there and join us that night. We're hoping for a great attendance, and I've been told by my district if I have some good numbers, they'll actually put money into our outdoor school that comes and teaches outdoor activities, and so they would be doing a lot of functions with the families that day. But I also have funds that I was going to be putting towards a barbecue. So we would do use the facilities there and do hot dogs and hamburgers for the families that came out there. And if we have the Lions Club or Girl Scouts come out to do breakfast in the morning, the only thing that they'll really need is tents, and we're providing those at no charge, our rental tents. So it's a supplies last. We have rental tents, pads, and sleeping bags. We just don't want anything coming between somebody saying, you know what, I just don't have the equipment. Because it's great to sleep under the stars. I think we've all forgot about that. I remember we used to sleep outside without a pad on our cement in our backyard just to look at the stars. And I think we need to bring our kids back to doing that too, so that they can become our future stewards.
Thank you, Karen. Amanda, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No, do you have any questions for me?
I personally don't. Does anybody on the board have any questions? Chris, anything? Any questions from the public? Okay, I believe this is going to take a motion to approve.
Can I make that motion?
You can.
I would like to make a motion that we approve overnight camping request and fee waiver for Great American Campout event at Cornell Park by June 25th and June 26th.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any more discussion? And hearing none, I would then say all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? And it passes unanimously. But before Karen gets away, I know you don't, right, Karen?
I previously have been with the press for about 6 years.
But don't you have a son that's just coming back from Afghanistan?
I do have a son who will be home from Afghanistan on Sunday, and then I'll have one home from Iraq.
All right, congratulations. Thank you. I knew that was you on my Facebook, but I don't think you've ever met before.
It is. I would also, I know that you do presentations here. REI is a retail store, but my job is stewardship and conservation and sponsorship and doing things. I would love to come in and talk about those aspects of our company. Just to let you know, last year our store alone with people like yourself and our staff did over 3,300 volunteer hours. And that's just our store. And we were actually did 39.5% of all the volunteer hours of all of the REI stores in the Bay Area. That's from Marina to Berkeley to San Francisco, Mountain View. And I'd like to come and talk to you.
And your store is where?
At REI Brentwood and Streets of Brentwood.
Streets of Brentwood.
I knew that. I would direct you to staff.
Okay.
Make an appointment to come in and talk with them and give them a presentation. And if they think it's of interest to the board, then they can address it as an agenda item.
Thank you.
Karen, I just want to give you, just give me a buzz later.
Okay. Thank you.
That would be all the action items for this evening, as I recall, by not looking at my agenda. So, director's reports. Anybody have anything for us this evening?
Yes. Director Simon and I attended a budget meeting.
Thanks,
one
Amanda.
Of many.
Thank you.
On May. When do we? April 20th. This meeting was attended by myself and Director Simon with the citizen members. Main points covered were the proposed fee schedule, which we just passed tonight. And staff present prevented a proposed draft operating and capital budget committee met again today. And attached a copy of the agenda. I'll pass that down.
Okay. Director Simon, that cover you too?
That covers me too.
Okay. Director Steele, anything to report?
Nothing to report today.
Nothing? Director Dawson?
Nothing at all, sir.
Okay, I do have, since I wasn't at the last meeting, my report is not exactly timely, but it's right here in front of me. And this is from the Aviation Advisory Committee that meets once a month. And the relevant items, well, unfortunately, I had to miss last week because I was in Texas last meeting, but there was actually a B-17 bomber that came into Buchanan Field, and they were offering rides on that and tours of it, which would be extremely interesting. I happen to have an uncle that was killed as a turret gunner in World War II. He's buried over in Belgium. And they're very interesting. Those are the ones with the belly turrets and the nose turrets, and they're very rare, and it was making the tour. There was discussion about the progress at Byron. They have reduced the from 10 hangars to 3 hangars, the development project that's going to go on out there, but it does look like it's going to move forward. And that's about all that's relevant right now at Byron. And that's it. I will pass this down. I don't think that I went to anything else. Actually, I was at the ECCFPD last night, and Monday night, and I reported, gave you a verbal report on that. I will follow that up with a written report because I don't have it in front of me. I left it at the house. But as was said, it was very interesting that the engineer's report was turned down because I think they saw the writing. Now that everybody's gone, they saw the writing on the wall, and the thing just wasn't going to fly. There was going to be a $98 assessment with no return to benefits as far as we could tell. And what was interesting is there was a gentleman from Bethel Island as last meeting, I think Brian was there with me, who got up and made a blanket statement that Discovery Bay was just complaining about nothing and hadn't been impacted at all by the closure of the station with regards to response times. And I thought I could get up there and make a comment about that, but it might just be considered argumentative, so I just kind of let it go, seeing he wasn't authority. But then when the consulting committee, SCI, stood up there that was being paid $120,000 or something for this report, got up and said that Discovery Bay, all of Discovery Bay was going to be encompassed in the assessment, full assessment, because we were within 6 minutes of the response times and 2.5 miles of the station, I had to object to that. And I got up and I made the statement to the board, that's purely false information. It's not true. I'm really surprised that a company that gets paid this much would have that kind of report, and don't take my word for it. I challenge you to ask Chief Henderson right here. He will tell you what the response times are because he's had to respond, and I've asked him that question. And you know, it's 8 minutes to our condo complex. And so what I alluded to earlier was after that occurred, they weren't happy with the consultants because they had dilly-dallied around and not got their engineer's report in. And so actually the chairman of the board, Eric Stonebarger, had pulled up what I had made the claim of on his droid and ask them again to verify, was that as the crow flies, or is that what it takes for a vehicle to drive? And then made the comment that he's never seen a fire truck fly. Yeah. So it needs to be on the ground. And he said, I show here from the station on Bixler to Beaver Court as being 12 minutes, which was exactly what, and so that's what I was happy. They're finally starting to listen to some of the comments we were making. They just weren't, you know. So anyway, that's what I have to report from that. They promised me they're going to bring something to get forward that Discovery Bay can take part of. What I will say is something has to happen, you guys. I mean, I know none of us want an assessment. None of us want to pay more money. The bottom line is there'll be no coverage for anybody if something doesn't happen. You heard tonight, they'll be down to $500,000 by the end of the year. So we expect something to come forward, but let's hope it's enough. I'd rather spend $40 more and a $135 assessment and reopen a station than pay $98 and get no enhancement. And I don't know if that's possible, but that's what would be my 2 cents. So that's what I have to report from the May 2nd ECCFPD meeting. That's it. Virgil.
Virgil's going to give a brief update on the Cherry Hills sewer replacement project.
On the, as I mentioned to you before, we have a dual barrel sewer main replacement that was ductile iron that was corroded, and I've showed you pictures showing you the pipe that we pulled out of the ground. We did, after that was completed, we had to look at what we call another track map. Each part of Discovery Bay is made up of a track, and there are probably a few hundred tracks in all of Discovery Bay that make up Discovery Bay as a whole. So we had to look at that one to see the main pipeline coming in to the original manhole that we had, the piping we had replaced. In that, it did show about 120 feet going up north towards Semtex that was ductile iron. So we elected to try to put a camera in there, and the camera couldn't go in further than 2 feet because of the corrosiveness. So we did back into that, dig that up 50 feet of that last week. Today we paved, tomorrow we coat the manhole. So hopefully next board meeting I can go back to you and say that project is complete.
Great, thank you very much, Virgil, appreciate that. I just need to make one more comment, I'm sorry, neglected. I want to give a special thanks to Farron and to Sue Heinel, is it? For the opening, splash pad opening that we had last Saturday. I'm guessing those are pictures from it. I can't see from here, but typically I'm guessing. So if you have a chance, take a look. It was a great time. The kids were having a blast. I saw about 100 pictures somebody posted on Facebook of them, and you're seeing, I mean, it was great. It was awesome. And thanks for the board for approving it, and thanks to Farron and his crew for putting it together. It was a great asset to the town. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rick. You're up.
You took some of my thunder.
I knew
I'm glad that you did it. I've got a few things. The first one that I have on the agenda, the cherry or the Little Lake Sanitarium. I'm going to say that one for last. As of the other day, as of Friday, we accept Visa, MasterCard, Discovery, and American Express. So we are up and running there. The website is up and running. If you haven't had a chance to check out the website, please do so. Yesterday and this morning, I was in Sacramento for the CSDA Special District Legislative Days sessions. And at probably the highlight of the event was actually Devin was able to join me for a few minutes at the reception afterwards last night. But immediately after he left, Assembly Member Joe Buchanan came into the room or came into the patio where we were at. And I expressed our gratitude for her efforts on behalf of all of Discovery Bay with respect to the property boarding waterways and the Jerry Dents issue. So she was happy to hear that we noticed, and I also thanked her staff for that as well. The hidden splash pad. So getting into the Willow Lake situation on Saturday, April the 23rd, a resident noticed that there was some bubbling liquid coming out of one of our manholes just east of Marlin on Willow Lake Road, or just north of Marlin on Willow Lake Road, I'm sorry. And Violi was called out to the site. They contained the situation. It was estimated that approximately 50 gallons were discharged. A very small portion of most of what was discharged was bubbling and drying. It was a warm day as it was coming out. And the blockage was created by most likely grease or something that caused one of the barrels in the sewer lines. And then once that pressure, it cleared itself out. So by the time everybody arrived on site, it had pretty much cleared itself out. And all was left to do was the cleanup. And there were approximately, Joe, what would you say, of the percentage of the 50 gallons that emptied into the storm drain, a very small amount of that. And most of that was collected from the storm drain.
Sucked it out, right?
Sucked it out with the vacuum truck. Veolia did do water testing in the area. They did post to 60 homes in the area, posted notifications. And I had directed the notification to be from a certain location to a certain location after discussing with Gerald and the crews on site. And so that took place as well. The board has been given a letter that Veolia sent to me the other day. It was emailed to you, I believe, yesterday. And so if you have any questions, the public has any questions, Gerald is available to be there. And I know that Jeff saw me out there because he stopped and wanted to know where my shovel was.
Is that the end of your report?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless questions, you have any other questions.
I'll ask if there's any questions just with regards to the last item from the board. Any questions from the public on that? I want to thank the Caney family for providing professional trucking services that evening, I understand. And Gerald, did you have anything you would like to add? Thank you for being here tonight.
Only thing I would add is that in speaking with the
County, Contra Costa County Health Department, they expressed that background levels of coliform in lake is typically around 1,200 MPN, a measurement of total coliform, and our numbers were that or below. And so I really feel like what did get into the storm drain probably didn't make it to the lake area itself, and it was contained. But since it's a conduit tied to the lake, you have to consider base fill.
And if that was at low tide, that was when the tide was below the level of the pipe, is that
above.
Correct? Huh?
Above.
Which kept it from going out because the water was flowing in? Okay. I had my ins and outs mixed up. Great, and that's in your report. Council, any report from council?
Actually,
I'm sorry.
Correction, the lake does not have tidal action.
What?
The static. Lake does
There's
not
no
have tidal
action.
Oh, was that in the lake that it
yeah,
went into?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I thought it went into the bay.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it went into the bay.
I should have went swimming at my house, man.
No, that's okay.
I was going to do it if you did. I don't want to go like a boom.
I thought it went into, I thought somebody said it went into Willow Bay. I guess it's Willow Lake.
And the worst part is in the lake, the steamship almost sank in there when that was going.
Is that right? How the heck did that get in there? Anyway, okay. I hope everybody
through the conduit.
Everybody out there having a good time with this?
We can do another hour.
Any council, I'm sorry.
No report.
That's wise, thank you. Council. And we have some correspondence. I did want to it's listed there, and I know this isn't on the list, but I'm gonna read it anyway. Because I want it's this is from our home winner, Jonathan Knill. And you guys may know that name Knittle because his brother was in here as an Eagle Scout that we recognized at one time. And so this handwritten note says, I would like to thank you all for making Discovery Bay a beautiful and fun place to live. Thank you for your hard work. I enjoyed reading my poem and cutting the ribbon at the splash pad grand opening. I will remember that day forever. Love, Jonathan Knittle. And he sent me a couple of pictures. So anyway, we've got, it was a cool poem, by the way.
It was, yeah, very good.
So, there's your correspondence. We have three public records requests. The first one is from Don, well, they're all from Don Flint. I just noticed that. Future agenda items. Any? If you don't have them tonight, get them in the next week or so. And then I would now call for adjournment. Thank you for coming.
Carol?
Oops, the lake. Would you turn this thing off before I say anything else stupid?